It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Carrie Nolan. As you've been hearing, the city faced another convulsive night of street protests. Since Friday, there's been a mix of peaceful demonstrations, with police taking a knee in solidarity in one part of the city, and violent clashes with the NYPD in another. Mayor de Blasio has overseen widespread protests before, but this time he's facing intense criticism from former allies and supporters. Joining us by Skype now to talk about how the mayor is trying to lead the city through dueling crises is WNYC's City Hall and politics reporter Bridget Bergen. Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning, Carrie.
This mayor came to office 6 years ago vowing to reform the NYPD, but he's had a fraught relationship with the department from the start. What's he saying this weekend about police conduct?
Well, yesterday morning, Carrie, which feels like a year ago, at a briefing with Police Commissioner Shea, he took an almost conciliatory tone. He credited police and protesters for their restraint. I should note his 25-year-old daughter, Kiara, was among those arrested for protesting Saturday. And in those instances where things did get violent, he spoke up most clearly for the officers.
I saw what was happening out there, and it's wrong. Our police officers are working men and women. They should not be treated this way, period. It's wrong. Just stop everyone trying to put on different labels and look at the human element.
Now, he also announced an investigation into some of the more disturbing encounters documented on social media, to police vehicles driving into a crowd of protesters. But it's going to be led by the city's Corporation Counsel and Department of Investigation Commissioner. Both are de Blasio appointees, which immediately led to some question about how independent this investigation could actually be.
So how did the mayor address some of the concerns raised, particularly by some of the city's black elected officials, about the aggressive treatment of people at these protests?
He actually used their words. He read a statement from the city council's Black, Latino, and Asian caucus, but he actually dropped the first two sentences that spoke directly about recent deaths of black men and women from police encounters across the country and the violence historically experienced here in the city by black and brown communities at the NYPD's hands. Councilmember Adrian Adams, who's a co-chair of that caucus and whose district includes portions of Southeast Queens, really took exception to that.
To take away the top two sentences, which reference history of racism across this country and in New York City, I think did a disservice to our communities of color.
And her sentiment was shared by her co-chair of the caucus, Councilmember I. Denique Miller, who also talked to me about how much the relationship between the mayor and the council members has changed since earlier in his tenure.
What did he say that was different?
Well, Carrie, this goes back to another police killing of a black man. This time it was Eric Garner on Staten Island. When a grand jury declined to bring charges against the officers there, people were concerned that the protests could take a more violent turn. But Councilmember Miller says the mayor was closer to the members in their struggles then. They were really all fresh to their positions and more used to fighting together against issues like the misuse of stop and frisk. The feeling on the ground was different. So when the mayor spoke from Staten Island that December night in 2014, many of them traveled there to stand with him. Now, not only does the mayor not have the same team of advisors who helped guide him through the Garner situation, who were invested in his success, but Miller says the council members have changed too. They've matured and found their voice. They're angry it took 5 years for the officer connected to Garner's death to be fired. And they're willing to keep pushing legislation to change the NYPD, even if the mayor, who's now a lame duck, is not totally on board. Here's part of what Miller told me.
With the police culture and as it pertains to violence perpetrated on black and brown communities, it is something that is going to actually require public policy legislation and, quite frankly, a real look at the job that they do and the budget that supports them in doing that job.
Now, Carrie, it's worth noting, while the city is dealing with the dual challenges of COVID-19 and the police protests, it's also budget season.
Right. And that means negotiations between the mayor and the city council are underway. And the COVID-19 pandemic, well, that's left a huge hole in the budget. And now these protests. Some are saying the mayor has a chance to show where his priorities lie and make some bold choices.
Right. And the mayor has sounded the alarm that we face a financial crisis. His latest estimate is that the city faces a $9 billion budget gap. Without more federal funding or authority from the state to borrow to cover operating expenses, that means real budget cuts for a mayor who has generally benefited from a really healthy economy. But here's where critics say his policy choices don't align with his progressive rhetoric. And it was an issue last night at the protests. This is public advocate Jemani Williams outside the Barclays Center.
The mayor has proposed to cut the Division of Youth and Community Development by almost 40%. To take away every summer youth job that exists, but leave the $6 billion budget of the NYPD almost all intact.
Now, the summer youth employment program budget is about $124 million compared to $6 billion in the NYPD's. The mayor has said the program was canceled because COVID-19 made it unsafe for people to gather in groups. But the council's pressuring for alternatives, and people like Williams and City Council Speaker Corey Johnson say this juxtaposition, slashing 40% from youth services versus less than 1% from the NYPD, is unfair and just does not represent the city's values.
And it's amazing how the focus on the coronavirus and the city's response got eclipsed by the protests this weekend. The mayor has held daily briefings on COVID-19 for more than 2 months. Did he address it at all yesterday?
It barely, carried. There were no daily indicators, no updates on testing. It was all about the protests and police conduct. The mayor was really trying to straddle this line between acknowledging the need to make more cultural change within the NYPD, while also being very careful to avoid language that explicitly linked racism to the department.
We've got about a minute left, Bridget. Mayor de Blasio has a year and a half left in office. Does his lame duck status make him an easier target for critics?
Without a doubt. There are people who are eyeing a run for mayor who are being especially vocal right now. But what isolates him even more are the term-limited city council members, the ones who were his allies that are seeking different offices like city controller, borough president, city council speaker. They all stand to gain by criticizing him, whether it's how the COVID-19 crisis has brought inequities that disproportionately hurt low-income and communities of color into sharp and devastating relief, or how much more change needs to happen within the culture of NYPD. He still has time left on the clock, and what he does in the next few days and weeks will have a huge impact on his legacy.
Bridget Bergen is WNYC's City Hall and Politics reporter. Thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Carrie.